Title: No Surprises Act comes as a surprise. Consolidated Appropriations Act includes new restrictions on surprise bills. Content: On December 28, 2020, the Consolidated Appropriations Act, 2021 Appropriations Act, was passed into law. The Appropriations Act included the No Surprises Act, which seeks to protect patients from surprise medical bills in situations where patients have little or no control over who provides their care, including non-emergency services provided by out-of-network providers at in-network facilities, emergency services provided by out-of-network providers and facilities, and air ambulance services. The Act, a rare piece of bipartisan, bicameral legislation, has been a long time in the making and has undergone multiple iterations. Particularly during the public health emergency, the issue of surprise medical bills is especially pertinent, as the COVID-19 pandemic has increased the occurrence of surprise bills in a time where people are less likely to be able to shoulder the unexpected costs. Key terms establishing guidelines for out-of-network services charges. The Act sets standards for the ways in which plans and providers decide what rates will be used for non-emergency services provided by out-of-network providers at in-network facilities, emergency services provided by out-of-network providers and facilities, and air ambulance services. In general, insurers and self-insured employers have favored the use of a benchmark payment standard, while providers preferred arbitration. In the final version of the Act, the providers won out. Unless the state has a specified law that determines the price for an item or service that a health plan or issuer must pay, the plan will send either an initial payment, at an amount determined by the plan, or a notice of denial to the provider, and the parties have 30 days to initiate open negotiations. The negotiations may last for 30 days. If the parties cannot reach an agreement within 30 days, either party has 4 days to notify the other and the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, of intent to initiate the Independent Dispute Resolution, IDR, process created by the Act. In the IDR process, each party may propose a payment amount. The arbitrator will then select one amount or the other. The arbitrator does not have the ability to split the difference. There are a number of factors that the arbitrator may consider in making a decision, but the provider's usual and customary charge or the billed charge are not among them. Arbitrator decisions are binding on the parties. Note, however, that the parties may continue to negotiate amidst the IDR process until the arbitrator makes a decision. Multiple cases may be batched together in a single arbitration proceeding to encourage efficiency, but those batched cases would have to, 1, involve the same provider or facility, 2, involve the same insurer, 3, involve treatment of the same or similar medical condition, and, 4, occur within a single 30-day period. The Act is designed to deter overuse of the IDR process, in that the losing party is responsible for paying the administrative costs of arbitration, whereas, if the case is settled before arbitration, the costs would be split equally unless otherwise agreed, and the party that initiates the arbitration process is prohibited from taking the same party to arbitration for the same item or service for 90 days following a decision. Establishing guidelines for out-of-network services cost-sharing. A. Non-emergency services provided by out-of-network providers at in-network facilities. The Act prohibits billing patients out-of-network cost-sharing amounts for services provided by a non-participating healthcare professional at a participating facility. Instead, patients may only be billed for the cost-sharing that would have been charged for an in-network healthcare professional. The Act allows for some exceptions to this protection, but only if a patient knowingly and voluntarily agrees to use an out-of-network provider. Some providers may request that a patient sign a consent waiver, but this exception is constructed narrowly and does not allow providers to request a consent waiver if, 1, there is no in-network provider available in the facility, 2, the care is for unforeseen or urgent services, or, 3, the provider is an ancillary provider that a patient typically does not select, e.g., a radiologist, anesthesiologist, pathologist, neonatologist.